Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Once again, welcome to my show, Prophetic Atmosphere. I thank God for you, and especially you. I'm excited that you have taken time out of your busy schedule to join me here tonight as we sup once again at the Master's Table, hearing what thus saith the Lord, preparing our hearts and our minds to not only seek His perfect will, but most of all to do His perfect will. I do have a word from the Lord for all of us tonight. Amen. And I definitely cannot wait to get into it. But before we begin, I want to take a moment and just go over our usual announcements, go to prayer, and then get right into this word on tonight. Tonight's message, or I should say tonight's word, we're actually concluding, amen, the series of It's Time to Turn. So before we begin there, let's go into the announcements, amen, which we're already there. Just want to let you know that every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen, and that's every Tuesday and Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m., again Tuesday at 7 p.m. Join me for Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. every Thursday. And you can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that is our website, and we are still working on our website, making some changes and some updates, but yet it is still active. So please join us there, get to know a little bit about us, amen. Not only that, but we're asking you also to pray and ask the Lord that you can become a prayer partner, a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. As many of you already know, or if you are new to our website, you know that we have many churches that are under our covering that are overseas. God has graced us with that. We are so thankful and grateful unto Him. But they too have a mission from the Lord, and they also not only need your prayers, but they also need your financial support as well. So please pray and become a vision partner, a financial partner with this ministry, helping us to push forth the vision, amen, in someone else's ministry as well. If you do know, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry is 501c3 affiliated, so it is basically tax exempt. Amen. As you're filling out that information, as you're clicking on the donate button, please follow the instructions there. Amen. And if you do need a receipt, also let us know as well as you're typing that information in for your donation, and let us know you need a receipt, and we will get that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Also want to let you know that if you would like any information concerning Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. If you would like someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, amen, or if you just want to have myself or Apostle McQueen to minister at your church, please, as you're on our website once again, www.ctkr.org. Click on the Contact Us page. Follow the instructions, and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen? Praise the Lord of the Most High. Now, those are the announcements, people of God, for this evening. And now let us go to prayer, and then immediately following prayer, amen, we'll get into the Word. Oh, before, we want to also let you know that we do have a new P.O. box. So now you can, if you're sending those correspondence to us, we have, again, a new updated P.O. box. It's now P.O. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, P.O. Box 542. That's Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, P.O. Box 542. Titusville, Florida, 32781. And that's for those of you who have been corresponding with us back and forth. Amen. That's for you. Glory to God. Now, those are the announcements, yes. And now let us begin to pray. Let us look to the Lord, and then let us get into this Word on tonight. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray, people of God. Father, right now, we thank you. Oh, God, we glorify you. We lift your name up. You are the mighty one to be worshipped, God. You are the great I am. You are the El Shaddai. You are Elohim. God, we just begin to worship you. We just begin to glorify, magnify, and thank you for all that you have done, what you continue to do. God, we thank you for just your favor. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your protection, God, that you have given us. God, we thank you for just clothing us in our light mind, activity of our limbs. God, we thank you. Some of us, we thank you that you have just kept our spirits up, God. Some of us, we've had rough days. Some of us are going through wilderness areas. Father, we thank you that you can, that you continuously encourage, that you continuously wrap your arms of love around us, God. Father, we bless your holy name in this place, God. We just begin to worship your holy name. We begin to magnify your name. We bless your name, God. We come, your people, we come before you, Father. We just humble ourselves at your right hand. Lord, we ask for forgiveness right now. We ask that you would forgive us and wash us from every sin. God, that you would just wash us white as snow. Wash us in the blood of Jesus. Wash us in the word of Jesus. Cleanse our heart, our minds, our souls, our spirits right now. God, we just come before you asking us to renew our minds. You said, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Renew our minds tonight in your word, God. Hallelujah. Renew our minds tonight in your word. Give us the mind of Christ, your thoughts, your vision, your purpose, your speech, God. Help us to move forward in the things of God on today. Father, I'm asking that this word I decrease, and I ask that you would increase, God, the anointing these lips of clay. Let them speak forth your word on tonight. In the name of the Almighty Jesus, God, help me to minister effectively to your people. Let your words, God, begin to come forth and begin to bring forth revelation and words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Whatever it is that you need on tonight, God, you do it through me in the name of Jesus. God, we glorify you. We worship you. We just begin to magnify your holy name. God, there is nobody else like our God. You are mighty. You are holy. You are gracious. You are the worthy one to be worshipped. We say thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done in the lives of your people. God, we can't do nothing without you. We try and we continually fail. God, we can't do nothing without you. We try to step light left and right. God, we can't do nothing without you. We fail. We fall. We falter every time. God, we thank you for your continuous mercy. Father, when we should have been cut off, you still say grace. We thank you for your grace, God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the continued word of God that just begins to just shape us and shift us. Now, Lord, we ask that you would just allow our feet to be guided. Guide our footsteps, Father, as you take us through this season of change, as you take us through this season of turning. God, in the name of Jesus, Father, help your people come into the knowledge of who you are in them and who they are in you. Ooh, glory to God. We thank you now. Hallelujah. We thank you now. Glory to God. We thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen again. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, men and women of God, just begin to worship the Lord. Just begin to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just begin to just give him and acknowledge him for just being God all by himself. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yes. All right, people of God, I'm asking tonight that you would turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, second chapter, starting at, let's start at the first verse and then just read on down. Amen? The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 2. We want to start at just read the word. Amen. The word of God reads as such. I'm coming out of the New King James Version. He said, then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea. As the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many days. Verse 2, and the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough, turn northward. And command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren who lived in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourself carefully. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows your trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. 8, and when we pass beyond our brethren, the descendants of Esau who dwell in Seir, away from the road of the plain, away from Elath, Ezon, Gabir, we turn and pass by the way of the wilderness of Moab. Amen. And the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearers of his word. Glory to God. Tonight, people of God, I want to just conclude the message tonight, the series tonight of It's Time to Turn. I said that we would pick up, amen, where I left off on last week. But if you've been with me for the past couple of weeks, the Lord has been dealing heavily with me when it concerns, as it has been concerning the change, the time to turn, the time to turn, the time to shift, amen. And I see, amen, things that have been happening around me, and I know for many of you, we see that many have gone off of the face of the earth, whether saved or unsaved. We see candlesticks being removed on a regular basis, and they are being removed not just from the as far as the everyday people, but these are very well-known people, amen, that are being removed, amen, by God's word. And again, I'm saying saved and unsaved. And we've been hearing, and those of us who have been following, amen, the social media, the Twitter, the Facebook, the Pinterest, you know, and all of those, we've been seeing the shift that has been happening in around the world, amen. But not only that are we looking at the shift in the natural, but we have to also recognize the shift that has been going on spiritually. And this same shift has been going on for quite some time. The thing that's so interesting is when it comes to seasons, God does not look at seasons how we look at seasons. We see seasons in a 3-month, 4-month time frame, winter, spring, summer, or fall. But with God, his seasons can last anywhere from a month to a period of time. And where we begin to get frustrated, amen, is that we assume that these seasons need to be ending, or we look at our time frame as, we look at God's time frame as though it's on our time frame. And then we become frustrated, amen, when we begin to don't see the changes that we expect to see. It's very interesting to me because I was just talking to one of my spiritual children, and I see that they put up a comment on Facebook saying, "Oh, God, I don't know how much change I can take. I don't know how much longer I can go through this. I'm hurting. I'm easily hurt. The tears are falling." And let me say, and people have been giving her encouraging words, amen, and rightfully so. We are, you know, we are supposed to rejoice with them that rejoice, and we definitely are supposed to weep with those that weep. But I do want to bring another angle to this, and the angle is, people of God, is that we have to recognize when God is trying to get us to turn a corner in our lives. We do not like change. Human nature does not like change. Humans are comfortable, and when I say human nature, I'm not talking about, I'm speaking from the saved to the unsaved now. We don't like change. And for those of us who have been in Christendom for a season of time, you know as well as I do is that church people do not like change. We work so hard. Amen. We work hard. We come into the church. We get saved. We work our way up depending on what organization you came from. You work your way. You come in. You're saved. You're cleaning the toilets and the benches. And you work your way up to Christian worker, from Christian worker to minister, from minister to licensed minister to ordained minister, and so on and so forth. And then when you finally work your way up, and it may have taken you 5, 10, 15 years in an organization, you finally got some quote-unquote clout, okay? And then all of a sudden, God is trying to turn, trying to bring change, trying to do something different. And when we see things that are different, that seem to threaten our status quo, we fight it tooth and nail. Threaten what we considered as something that is comfortable to, I know this, I know the feeling of this, I know every crack and every crevice of this situation, I know where every splinter is, I'm comfortable right here. And besides that, you don't know how long it took me to get here, so I'm not easily trying to move up out of the space. But then God begins to challenge us and say, listen, I need you to turn. Just read it out of Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, "And the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward." Just real simple scripture. Turn northward. You've been here long enough. Well, you're saying, prophetess, how do I know I've been here long enough? Well, let me tell you this. Sometimes God will begin to stir something in your heart where now all of a sudden you start becoming dissatisfied with what's around you. You start becoming uncomfortable with what's around you. He's trying to stir you. He's trying to make things. He's trying to shift you. He's trying to shake your mindset about some things. Things that you were comfortable, things that you were accepting, now all of a sudden they start grating your nerves. People you used to hang around that would say things and do things that, you know, normally you laugh with them and you joke with them, and now all of a sudden that same comment, you're like, why did you have to say it that way? What did you mean by what is it about? Why did you make that statement today? What? And then all of a sudden they're looking at you like, I always make the statement. Yeah, well, you know, maybe that statement that you made is not an appropriate statement. And we look at that, and it's like all of a sudden people are saying, what's going on with you? Well, baby, really nothing's going on with me. It's just that I'm actually, God is pushing me and trying to get me to come out of that rut that I've allowed myself to stay in. And he's trying to push me onto the greater. And the issue or the challenge is, people of God, is that push, amen, that press can be very uncomfortable at times. That push, that press, amen, can be cause us to cry at night, amen, that it can cause our feelings to get hurt. And I go back to my spiritual daughter because I know having foresight of the place where she is, per se, not that I had to go through the exact same thing, but I know the frustration, I know the call the anointing that God has on her life. Amen. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to buffet her. He's trying to smooth out the rough edges. He's trying to, in other words, he's trying to bring forth out of her what he has already called her to be. Bottom line, he's trying to get her to mature. He's trying to get her to mature up. Amen. And there's issues, and here it is, people of God. We have, and every last one of us have this. We all have things in our lives, amen, things in our flesh that we're dealing with, mindsets that we deal with, situations that we're comfortable in, personality issues or challenges or something about us that God is getting us to say, okay, enough of this. It's time for you to grow up. I'm not winking at this anymore. You know, this has become a habitual habit. And what do you mean by habitual habit, Prophetess? Well, that thing that continuously drives us where we're constantly repenting, but we're really not turning. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Forgive me for what I've done. But we're really not turning. We're not turning. Because that word, as I said here, you have skirted this mountain long enough, turn northward. That word turn means to repent here, talking about that. The little things we have to do, turn, do a 360. We got to make a U-turn and do some things differently about ourselves, how we walk, how we talk. Things have to change within our lives. And what God is trying to do, he's trying to get you to get you, get me to turn, come up out of the wilderness. So here it is, and I know many people have been speaking that word, this is the year of double, this is the year of double, this is the year of double. But let me tell you something. If you are not prepared for the double, D-O-U-B-L-E, if you're not prepared for the increase, amen, spiritually, if you're not prepared to be a vessel where he can pour more into, you're just going to frustrate yourself. And for many of us, that's what's happening. We're frustrated spiritually because we're in a place of wilderness, amen, but let me help you. I do want to help you. Let's help us. Let's put it that way. Let's help us. Because what's happening is we're in a place of wilderness. Amen. Yes, you have a call on your life. Yes, you are anointed. Yes, when you pray, heaven moves. Yes, when you lay hands, things begin to happen. You can speak in tongues all day long. You're a wonder. You're a wonder. You're powerful. Amen. Nothing's wrong with that. But the thing is, with the anointing comes responsibility. You do know that, right? With the anointing comes responsibility, and the day is over where we just want to be anointed, but our life is raggedy. Someone asked me a question, and they said, woman of God, do you preach a message of grace, or do you preach a message of condemnation? And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, you know, he's a loving God, and, you know, and everything about him is love, 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 and, you know, he's just merciful and kind. You know, I don't like those messages where, you know, everybody's being condemned to hell. You know, I just can't take all of that. I said, well, let me tell you something. I said, we here, I said, myself, my husband, I said, the message we preach, I said, we preach a message of balance. I said, God is a just God. Yes, he is. He's going to do what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, and however he does it, he's always just. But yet, so he will judge when he needs to judge, but yet he's a God of grace, because when we should have been cut off, he had mercy upon our lives. And every last one of us will have to raise up our hands and say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy, because you weren't always clean. You didn't always say it right. You didn't always do it right. You didn't always show love. You were angry. You were mad. You were bitter. We caught you around the corner. There were some things that were going on. So, yes, we have to preach a message, a Christ message of balance. We can't be talking about prosperity, give me more money, more money, more money, and then so what with the lifestyle that you're living, but yet we're telling everybody no matter what, you're never saved, you're not going to be saved enough, you're on your way to hell. You can't preach that message either. It has to be a message of balance. Even The four Gospels are filled when Jesus Christ was ministering those 3.5 years on the earth. When he walked here, he constantly preached a message of grace and a message of Take a look in the book. With God, dealing with the turning, we're still talking about skirting around the mountain long enough. I'm talking about for those of us where it is time for us. You are anointed. You know that God has called you, but maybe he has put you on the back burner. Maybe God has placed you in a cave. Maybe you're in a dark place. Whatever the case may be, he's got you on hold right now, and you have been frustrated like all get out because you see people. I'm going to be real because we all, even if you don't say it, I'm going to say it for you. You know that you sit here and see people that got, that have probably one third, and I'm not saying this to be all great, grand, and wonderful, so hear my heart in this, please. You know that you see people that aren't living hardly nothing, barely pulling it together. You have more anointing in your pinky on a bad day, okay, than what they have, and yet they seem to be moving forward. Things seem to be coming. The minute they open up their hand, it seems to be a prosperity. Whatever they need seems to be dropping in their hands. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is God, this is God. And you're sitting here on the back burner struggling and doing without and praying for others when you're sitting in the dark and holding others up when you need somebody to give you gas money so you can get to work. Being able, while you're sitting here praying and asking God, can you help me pay my bills? Can you help the children out? Can you help? What about me, Lord? So, here it is. God has you in the wilderness, and he's had you there some time. Why? Because it was your time of development. Why? Because God wanted you to see those different ministries and those different individuals, and he was teaching and training you all that time of this is what you don't do. I don't need this in the kingdom. I don't need all this extraness. They walked with me at one time, but they got caught up, and now they're in the spirit of error, and now they're taking my people in another direction. So God has kept you back, but yet kept your eyes open. He's allowed you to see what was good and what was not good. This is of me. This is not of me. This is what we need to do. This is what you don't need to do. And all that time you were praying, all that time you were speaking, all that time you were loving on him. And while you were doing that, you were going through it. Every time that you were going through in your wilderness, there was more hate that was being taken out of you. There was more frustration being removed from you. In other words, the weights were dropping off of you, the weights of the flesh, so that when he emerges you from out of the place of darkness or out of that wilderness, God does not have to worry about that your message is going to be their message. The message pure will be anointed, and it will bring change to the nation. I don't know about you, but I do want to be a change agent. You do know he called you to be a change agent. Wherever the platform is that he has placed you, amen, whether it's in a pulpit, whether it's on your job, whether it's around children, whether it's at the grocery store, whether you're a bagger, wherever God has allowed your foot to tread, he has called you to be a change agent. So I'm saying God is speaking now and saying, listen, now it's time for you to turn. You done went around the mountain long enough. You done put your thumb in your mouth, and you've been kicking the cans long enough, baby. Now it's time for you to emerge. I've placed too much inside of you. I've anointed you. I've given you dreams. I've given you vision. I've given you prophetic word. I've given you the word of the Lord speaking right out of Rhema word. Now it is time for you to go forth and minister and show people my grace. Show people my mercy. Show people the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now it is time for you to go forward. Come out of that dark place. Come out of that hole. Come out of that corner. Now it's time to come turn and go northward. Well, prophetess, you don't know what happened. I tried. I tried to go northward. I tried to move. And then when I moved, the enemy just about knocked my head off. When I moved, I tried to write the book and things didn't happen. And when I moved, I opened up, you know, I set the tent up like he told me to. I opened up the ministry like he said, and nobody showed. And then I ended up going bankrupt. It ended up going belly up. I thought I heard from the Lord. Well, child of the King, you did hear from the Lord. Remember, the Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And so many of us, we step out, and you have to also realize is that in obedience is also the test. I trust you to move even when you can't see, trace, or feel me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Can you still trust him? Can you try it again? Now he's saying, okay, yes, you failed in your eyes. In your eyes, you failed. Because when you were doing it, and I told you to do it, you were still trying to find a way to do it in your own strength. You were still trying to find a way to pull on old friendships. You were still trying to find a way to bring people along with you. Hmm? You are still trying to find a way. And now he's saying, I need you to try it again. Because now when you ended up licking your wounds from that quote-unquote failure that you thought, now, you know, wipe your eyes. Now God says, okay, now I need you to turn, come out of the wilderness, and I need you to try this again. But he knows this time when you go forth, you'll step and you'll make your move every time trusting and believing him. See, one thing the enemy wants us to do is he wants us to focus in on where we failed at. He wants us to focus in on it didn't happen. All those people that said they were going to be with you, they didn't even show. Hmm? They promised you they was going to be there every step of the way, even coached you to go do it big, do it big. You want to make your first impression, the best impression. Do it all up, and nobody show but about two or three people. Sell the book, write the book. So here you write the book. Here you write the book, you try to sell it, and not even one person besides your family, if your family even joins you, buys the book. Or it doesn't even get published because something, quote-unquote, ends up happening. And here you say, and here you hear God say, all right, I need you to try it again. How do I know that the vision has not died? The vision has not died because God, the Holy Spirit, constantly keeps bringing it up to you. He keeps finding a way to bring those thoughts that he's spoken to you back to your mind. He keeps finding a way to, you'll see other people do it and you'll say, but if they would have did it this way, it would have turned out like this. Why is that? It's because he placed that vision, that dream, that profile of you, and only you can fulfill it at the level and the intensity that he wants it done. So you can't quit now. You can't get there and want to sit in the back of the church and I don't want to do nothing else. That's it. I just want to be a child of the King. That's all I want to do. I don't want to do nothing else. Nor can you be selfish like that either. Can you, and I'll say it again, can you still be obedient when you can't see, can't trust, and can't feel? Can you still be obedient to what he's given you? The scripture says that my food is to do the will of the one that sent me and to complete his work. Your whole drive, your whole purpose, your reason for existence is to do the will of the one that sent you, ever that work is. So I'm saying tonight, as I'm concluding on this series, you got to come up out of the mountain, come up out the valley. You need to turn. You've been there long enough. You cried long enough. You pouted long enough. You spoke over it long enough. You done got counsel on it long enough. You been mad at God, and now you're back, and you've been mad at God, and I don't want, left the church and then came back. You done went through all the shenanigans that we all go through. But let's face it, the job is still undone and will not be complete until you complete it. Well, let somebody else know. Let you. Try it again, man of God. Try it again, woman of God. Whatever he's given you to do, get to doing it. Now, here we have, I want to take this even one, still book of Deuteronomy. I want to look at, see, let's check out the first chapter here. And let's go to, but the Lord your God said to us in Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey. And go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in Arab, in the hill country and in the lowland and in the Negev and by the seacoast, the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. Verse 8. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and their offspring after them. What has God promised you? What has he spoken over you? And when I say this, I'm not talking about running after the prophetic, running after every prophet, every apostle, running after every prophetic word you can find. I'm talking about when God begins to speak, he'll speak it over here, he'll speak it over there, and he'll speak it somewhere else. But each time he speaks it, it always lines up and it's saying the exact same thing. And yet sometimes what he speaks is the very thing that is not popular, what we don't want to do. It's not talking about bringing us the riches. It's not talking about us having the house on the hill. I'm talking about when it comes down to ministry. True ministry is about souls. His heart is about souls. If you call yourself one who is a disciple of Christ and you do not even like people, then you need to get back to the altar and have, as the old folks say, get another dip. Because you cannot be in ministry. You can't be in ministry and you don't want to deal with people. Say that again. You cannot be in ministry and you don't like people. But here, he says, turn and take your journey. And as I was talking to, making a comment to both my husband and goddaughter, my spiritual daughter, I talked earlier when the show opened, we don't like change. And sometimes, God will begin to turn things so that he will bring change. He knows that we don't want to walk away. We become comfortable. We're creatures of habit. We like comfort. We don't want to move. We don't want to do anything. We work hard to get where we are, and we like it, and we want to stay here for whatever the reason may be. To move, and we sometimes don't want to move, then God begins to stir the nest. He begins to stir the nest. And no matter what you do to try to bring things back into order, a shaking always begins. I know it's uncomfortable because simply being shaken, it always keeps you off kilter. It always keeps you off balance. And the more that we try to get off, the more that we become off balance, the more we're trying to put things back into order, and then eventually we just become doggone chaotic. I'll just be a little transparent. There was This is years before I was saved, y'all. So let me just say that right now. This is before salvation. There is a relationship that I was involved in. And I did everything I could to keep that relationship. Whatever he asked of me, it wasn't an abusive relationship, nothing like that. But the relationship, the dynamics of the relationship was changing. And I can see and feel the shifting. I can see and feel the changing. I didn't want it to change because of fear. Fearful of, I love you. Can't we just be together forever? I'm willing to do whatever we must do to make this situation work. And it seemed the more that I would try to put things back in order, everything would be okay for a moment, and then all of a sudden the shaking. The shaking. And all the rumbling. And then I will put things back in order again. And what else, you know, what must I do? What can I do? Please, can we make this work? It'll die down for a minute. And then shifting and shaking. Until one day, so bad that it just completely disrupted everything. And then there was no way to put anything back into order again. And the whole thing is that I was so fearful of the what if. I don't want to be alone. What am I going to do money-wise? What are my friends going to think? How am I going to support this, blah, 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 here, there, and the other way? And what we do and what I did is that I was willing to sacrifice everything, my integrity, willing to sacrifice me as a person to try to hold something together that God was trying to get me. You understand where I'm going? And for some of us at times is that we'll do desperately to hold on to something that God is trying to say, listen, I'm done with this. You have completed your assignment here. Now it is time for you to move to the next place that I have waiting for you because I have someone, some people, I have something there I need you to accomplish. I need you to go to greater. I need you to go to better. I need you to go to bigger. But God, I'm comfortable here. So we're willing to put up with mess here. We're willing to put up being disrespected. We're willing to put up with being tied down. We're willing to put up with people looking down upon us. We're willing to put up with folks lying on us. We're willing to put up with all of that. And when I'm talking about the lying and all that, the Bible talks about that they would do this, for Christ's sake. And I'm not talking about that for your religion side. I'm saying we're willing to sacrifice everything when God is trying to get us to somewhere else. How long are you willing? How long are you willing? Time. That's why I said there's times in our lives where God has to come and kill something because we're so attached to it. He already knows the end from the beginning. And the reality is that it's fear. It's fear. It's lack of trust. It's doubting. How am I going to make it if? What are people going to think if? Because we don't want to hurt, we'll try to withstand, we'll try to prolong the pain of hurting. And then what God had to do in that situation, he just had to blow it up in my face. I ended up hurting anyway. But I prolonged a pain that did not have to be that long. So what would have taken me probably a couple of months, shake myself off, get out when the shaking was happening, get out then, before I invested that much time into that relationship, when I should have got out then. Or I saw the handwriting on the wall, should have got out then, didn't want to get out. Well, what could have taken me 3 to 6 months to get over ended up taking me a full year to recover. Now, when I look back, and again, it wasn't an abusive relationship at all. It just wasn't a relationship that was for me. And when I look back on it, I see this is what then God allows you. That's what I love about God, because sometimes he'll let you get a rear view mirror look at some things. This is what I was really trying to save you from. When I happen to look back and I happen to see this person many, many years later, at this point in time, I was in Christ. This person looked beat down. Even though they were with another person, they were married, the person looked extremely unhappy. The person, the individual was unhappy. Really, and I looked and I said, okay, God, this is really what you were keeping me from. And I didn't understand that then. Thank you. Even the situation, and I'm going to relate this to you, sis, and not trying to put, I'm not putting anything out there on you because I see what you're talking about, but I just want to give you some insight and just pray about it if you don't mind. Situation dealing with my job. I'm at a job where it is just strictly grant written. I applied for, I've been there for a number of years, and there was a point in time when they were looking down upon me. They were trying to find every issue that was wrong. Things just weren't going right no matter what I was doing. Prayed about, I'm scared to death, looking over my shoulder like, Lord, what they're going to do? Are they going to let, I can't handle, I can't do? And I was allowing the enemy and I was allowing fear to take over and take precedence and do all kinds of stuff. And you know, when fear comes on and it gets all up in our emotions, we make bad mistakes. So never make a mistake or never make a decision on an emotion, whether good or bad. Well, as I began to pray and settle myself in God, pray over myself, bind up that fear, trusting in him, because for me it was a trust issue with me and God. It's like, I can trust you to save me, but I can't trust you to take care of anything else. Trust. That's how I was being. I'm only talking about myself, being transparent. In the situation, sis, come to find out the very people that were set up against me, God removed them. Now, these are people I was coming to, explaining. They were smiling in my face, looking like they were in my corner. I'm doing all the work. Other people were taking the credit, doing everything I can, but yet they were giving it to other people, saying it was them, this, that, and the other. God had a way that he removed those very persons out of that position. So far out, they literally were removed from the company. And it came later, someone who I least expected, stood up is what I love about God, because God will actually have your enemy speak to you. Remember I said that. God had an enemy speak for me, talk me up, to the point where people were literally saying, we had no idea you were doing all of this. They presented the situation, the persons that were previously here were presenting the situation as though you had no clue of what you were doing. You didn't even know your job. Someone else had to take over for you. We had no idea you were basically running the department. And I was. Same situation. And while I'm even... during that time, God allowed me to be elevated to a lead position. But yet, there was one more position that was higher, and I was seeking after that position. I applied for a lead position six times, sis, six times, and got turned out. People were being promoted. Every person, listen to me now, let me tell you how God is. Every person that was promoted ahead of me, some of them I trained. Some of those people I trained myself. Every person that every time I would go up for this particular position, they always would take the person that was underneath me, less time, less years, and promote them over me. In the end, Seth, every person that was promoted over me, they're no longer there. The grant got cut, and so did they. You hear what I say? And I was sitting here begging God, even got angry. I'm going to tell the truth. Because the reality, we all need to tell the truth. God already knows about it. We just ask, we ourselves try to act like we're so saved. But the reality was I was angry because I was like, Lord, I know I'm giving everything I can. I gave the tithes, my offerings. I prayed. I'm being faithful. I'm doing all I know how to do in your name. And here I've been asking for this job, and I'm not getting there's no promotion. And he said, I need you to trust me. He said, listen, I need you to trust me. In the end, we did too. The grant got cut, and all those higher positions are no longer here. I'm still there, but they're not. And God was so good, he opened up another door where I'm still with the company, but I moved to another position where I no longer have to worry about the grant being cut or as you say, you've just been renewed. Ours has been renewed, and now I can rest my bag and move on with life. But if I would have gotten that position, I wouldn't have been here. I would have been cut. So I'm saying to you, you're going through the test. Because there is a season. I don't know how long you've been there, but there is a season that you have to go through in every job. And part of that, that's why you're having the trouble. And one thing is it's smooth, and then you're doing everything you know how, and all of a sudden, the shaking comes. If you've been in that position for some time, I don't know where you are, and I'm not going to sit here and try to prophesy to you either. If you've been in that position for some time and God is trying to get you to shift, that's why things start becoming uncomfortable. And no matter what you do to try to keep it together, he always manages that undercurrent to start shifting and shaking. Because he's trying to get you to other door. Is God trying to really get you to go in? When I fought, sis, like I said, six times I went for the same position and got rejected every time and then allowed the enemy to get in my ear talking about you and try this job six times. Got people in my face, you know what, why they keep rejecting you, girl? We don't understand. What's going on with that? And flesh gets riled up. But when I finally rested and said, okay, God, you got to, I did it too. You got to rest in this thing. When I rested, he opened another door. I don't have any stress. I don't have to worry about the people. I'm actually my own boss. You see what I'm saying? And I believe the same thing for you. So, and I'm going to touch and agree with you on that. Because I believe God is doing something not only naturally but spiritually. Getting you to shift, getting you to turn, getting you to come around the mountain, out of the valley, up the way to the level you're supposed to be. And I'm not saying that as being disrespectful, saying that you're not saved. I'm not being disrespectful, saying that you don't have nothing, you're nowhere in Christ. Not saying that at all. But who God is on the inside of us, sometimes we're just scratching the surface. But I will touch and agree with you in prayer on that situation. Because you're still there no matter. And here's the thing. You got to look at it like this. Whatever job God puts you in, they can't move you until he says otherwise. That we really have to understand about God is that whatever situation he places us in, when it's him, whatever situation he places, people can't do anything. They can only do so much, but they can't do it forever. And when it's time for you to move, he'll make sure that there's a way of escape for you. He'll make sure when it's over, he'll make sure that door is closed. No matter how they tried to get me up out of there, no matter how much they tried to threaten, God always managed to allow me to slip through the cracks. Still remained. And the same people that I started out with are no longer here from the top down. But God allowed me to be here. Just want to encourage you. You're welcome, sis. I just want to encourage you because I know how it is. Just don't let the devil get up in your head. Don't let him put that fear in you, like, if you don't get this job, if you lose your job, this is going to happen, and kids going down, and the bills going to be. God will always, always make a way of escape for his children. I'm a witness on that one. I'm a witness. But listen, I got 2 minutes left tonight, and I'm done. I thank you for joining me, all of you who were here on tonight. Amen. But I just want to let them conclude my series on It's Time to Turn. If you want to hear the first two series, please go into my archives on the Prophetic Atmosphere or Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. You can hear the other two services of the broadcast concerning It's Time to Turn. But listen, God is really pulling us, y'all. He's really trying to get us to come up to a higher place. We've been in that valley long enough, and those who are called by the name of the Lord shall do great exploits. And it's time for you and I to do great exploits in the Father's name, bringing him glory. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for my sister here. Father, I'm touching and agreeing with her tonight. Father, that you would speak to her tonight, settle her mind and her spirit. Father, I'm asking right now that you would send the angels of peace. I speak peace to her mind and peace to her soul and her spirit. Father, I'm asking that you would begin to speak words of encouragement to her. God, give her the strength this time when she rises on tomorrow morning and walks into that building, Father, things will be different. When she steps foot, God, every devil will flee and back up. Father, as she opens up her mouth, things will begin to move and shift on her behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. God, right now, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for the word, God. Help us to turn and change and come up off the mountain and go to the next place. We give your name praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who are not saved, please pray this prayer with me. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and my life. I want to make my abode, make your abode in me. I'll serve you. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries are praying for you that God will lead you to a Bible-believing teaching church that's going to mature you and train you in the kingdom of God and your assignment in the earth. Amen. Listen, I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I want you to join me again next week on Thursday for another broadcast of Prophetic Atmosphere. I love you all to life. Be blessed in the Lord and have a wonderful evening. Good night.